Hi, welcome to Soul Speak with Meg Michelson. In today's episode, we're going to discuss a topic that can cause people to get pretty heated if it's been an occurrence in their own life, the underlying reasons that people choose to be unfaithful. Why do people cheat? Welcome back. Thanks again for joining me at Soul Speak. I am always grateful for you to be back here or new listeners. I love it when you share and follow and rate. I appreciate any of that because that does help. So thank you. And thank you for your comments. I've talked quite a bit about relationships and authentic intimacy with our partners. And that's always an up and down thing in every relationship. Recently, I was asked, though, to revisit why people choose to betray their partner with a third party. Why do people cheat? You know, on the surface, there are so many reasons, and we're going to go over some of those today. And of course, I'm not going to cover all of them because it's such a personal thing. But at the end of the day, in my belief, it all comes down to one reason. And we're going to talk about that today as well. The reasons we're going to talk about first are all those reasons that lead us away from our empowered self. I asked some people I know and some listeners to share their stories with me. The stories are real, the names are not. One reason people tend to look outside of their relationship is boredom, boredom with their own life. I used to work with a woman years and years ago when I was in retail. I was in retail management, and this woman in her 30s, I can't even remember her name, but she had such an effervescent personality. And the man she was married to for many years, they had two kids, he was not effervescent. She loved to go out and party, and he wanted to hunt and fish and stay home and watch TV. So from that, you know, that foundational piece, they weren't really well matched. They had really different interests. So she started to go outside the marriage, first started flirting, and then she ended up going to a different city and started having an affair with somebody. Long story short, they did not stay together. And maybe that was best, right? Because the boredom for her was too much. He was content, she was not. You know, I've talked about the second chakra, hip to hip, lower back, lower belly. That is our creative center. That is that juicy part of us when we're living a creative life. It's also sensuality and sexuality. It's the balance. It's work and play. And when we are bored, that energy center really takes a hit. We can have a lot of stagnancy there, lower back issues, lower belly issues, hip stuff. And that, of course, radiates down through the rest of the body. And when we are allowing ourselves to get stuck in life, that's oftentimes when people start to stray outside their relationship, whether it's emotional or physical or both. Why? Because they're feeling dull. And some people really want that excitement back. Such an odd concept, but I've even seen people, because I work with a lot of couples, I've even seen people that behave very differently with the new person they're having an affair with, and they don't even give that part of themselves to their partner. So instead of revving up the life that they have that they're bored with, it's easier for some people, not in the long run, but I'm just talking what I hear. It's easier for some people to just go outside the marriage and get that excitement. We let that old self sit on the shelf in home life, and then we go outside of that because we want to feel excited. And that happens so often in couplehood, whether or not, again, it's physical or emotional. Another reason that people stray outside of their relationship is because they don't feel like they matter to their partner. They're not getting enough attention from their partner. And they feel that sense of lack of intimacy. You know, intimacy, we talk about intimacy, that's sexual intimacy, of course. However, it's also emotional intimacy. And it's really important to have that with your partner, to feel safe enough to be yourself and talk through things. And sometimes when we don't have that, we long for that. So we start to want that outside instead of trying to create that within. You know, and everybody's different. But sometimes people think it's easier to start a conversation outside of their partnership than it is within that partnership. A young woman I worked with years ago told me she cheated on her boyfriend. They think they'd been together for 2 or 3 years. And it was because they had no romance. They had no kissing. They had no hand holding. They didn't give each other compliments. And when she realized that, she tried and she even vocalized those needs. But they were so different that that loneliness set in, and then she started straying outside of that relationship. In her words, he was more in love with his computer games than he was her. So truly, a good thing they're no longer together. Why? Because they didn't have like interests. And it really took her great courage to leave that relationship because she thought it was dead. And those two people, when they're not compatible and neither one of them wants to look to see if there's any shared interests, is it going to get better? Probably not. And I'm not saying you should leave a relationship. Everybody has to do what's best for them. However, it's important to look at the relationship. There are truly, in my belief system, 5 solids to a great relationship. I think I've brought this up in a different episode. Mutual respect for each other, mutual trust, mutual values, mutual interests, and right in the center of that bed, mutual attraction. We want to have those things with our long-term partner. And sometimes we rush so fast into partnership, we realize when we're in it, wow, I don't think that we're really compatible. There's a woman named Janet that I used to work with, and in her marriage, she felt neglected so often. Her spouse had a wandering eye. It caused her to feel like she wasn't attractive enough. She didn't get compliments from him. And instead of dealing that in a healthy way, she decided to start trying to control him and make him wrong and complained and criticized. Instead of looking at, wow, am I enough for him? Is he enough for me? Let's look at the core issues and then we can deal with it. And it's important to feel attractive, even if you're not attractive to your partner. That's a whole different story. But we want to start to become attractive to ourselves. We want to start living a life we love. We want to start taking those risks and creating a healthier life. And she did leave. It took her a long time to leave. And she ended up, I think, remarried to someone else that really was compatible and really did tell her how attractive she was. That's important. Some people need to hear that. You know, there's the 5 love languages. Those are important. We want to match. We want to at least put effort in there. Another way, feeling controlled by our partner. That can lead to a pull away, especially if one of the people in a relationship behaves like the dad or the mom. There is nothing less attractive long term than being married to your parent. You might be attracted at the beginning. You know, there's oftentimes that, and this is stereotypical, but I'm going to say it anyway. There is an older man and a younger woman, and maybe the younger woman has daddy issues. Who knows? But that long term, when he starts trying to control her and behave like the dad, and she is now the youngster in the relationship, that gets old. And so maybe she'll stray and she'll find someone her age or that treats her like an equal. There's a woman I know, I met her years ago, and she has a great life. She and her husband travel and they have friends and they have fun, but he's considerably older than her. Which is okay, right? As long as you treat each other respectfully as equals. And he wasn't. He controlled the money. He controlled the schedule more than her in some ways. And she found a partner outside of that marriage who was about her age and had her interests. They didn't last. She ended up staying with her partner. And I have no idea what's going on in their marriage now. But those are the things that happen. So we want to be cautious. Are we partners in this relationship or not? A true healthy relationship doesn't mean someone won't stray, but hopefully not if it's truly healthy on both ends, means we treat each other with respect and go back to those 5 foundational pieces. Another reason, some people have a dysfunctional view of what they find sexy. So for instance, they might marry the good girl and sleep around with the sexy one. Years ago, I started telling my female clients, be the one that your husband's going to have an affair with. Don't become the old lump on a log. Take care of yourself. Be exciting. Have fun. Do that for you. Be the mistress. Don't be the frump. Why? Because that helps keep the relationship alive. And it is important for both people to try to keep the relationship alive. However, if there's long-term dysfunction and someone still feels like, I want to stay married to this person because they're safe, but I want to go outside and have sex with that sexy person over there, maybe you can't change that. And maybe if you're the one that's being hurt, you got to relook at that one. But there is sometimes that split view. A big one is low self-esteem. You know, that's pervasive in our world. People that have a low self-esteem, and it can come out as bravado, trying to control other people, trying to be right or needing to be right, needing to be the one, needing to have arm candy, needing to not use our voice to ask for what we want. But low self-esteem oftentimes causes us to choose to not deal with the thing that's in front of us, not ask for what we need, not really even want an authentic relationship because we don't feel like we're worthy enough to get one. So we accept the crumbs.
Yeah, so you're talking a lot about lacking confidence in your relationship as being kind of a driver as to why someone would cheat, right? They, like you said, they need the arm candy, they need to fill some sort of void that they have in their confidence. But do you think that people with low self-esteem are usually the ones that are cheating? Or do you think they're also, if you have low self-esteem in a relationship, do you also think that you're susceptible to be cheated on? Right? Yeah. Because I feel like people with low self-esteem are always constantly asking for reassurance, or they might be paranoid that, you know, there's someone else out there for their partner and that they're not enough for their partner. Do you think there's also something to be said about being cheated on if you have low self-confidence? Are you more susceptible? Is your partner, you know, tired of hearing that from you?
Yeah, and that's a great question because absolutely. Oftentimes, I want to say this multiple, we send out whatever energy we're sending out is coming back. And so low self-esteem, like I said, can go on either side of the spectrum and all the grays between. But that one piece, when someone is, if they look at their relationship history and they have been cheated on multiple times, they tend to be more of the giver in the relationship. And if you're a giver and you're giving without mindfully giving, without also giving to self, it causes low self-esteem. And yes, there are so many times when someone is, and not always, you guys, but when someone is, has that low self-esteem, they're giving more than they're getting. There is oftentimes a pattern of them being in a relationship where they will be cheated on. Why? Because they're not prioritizing themselves. You know, we want to feel really great about ourselves and we can get there, but it takes effort. And then you're sending out the energy that you're worthy and you won't put up with that. You know, if you're like, nope, I want monogamy in my relationship, then send that energy out there. But you got to really look at what you're tolerating. When cheating happens in a relationship, there are always two parties and there's always two people that have some sort of responsibility in what happened. Doesn't mean you're responsible for your partner who's cheating. You're responsible for your part. Was I awake enough? Am I treating myself well enough? Am I setting up healthy boundaries? Am I allowing myself to be treated well? Or am I giving and giving and giving and giving? Now, this goes back to an earlier episode when that man was married and his wife didn't even had a birthday party and didn't even invite him. Those pieces, right? It's like, wow, how long are we going to put up with bad behavior? And if you think it's bad behavior and you keep putting up with it, absolutely, that might cause that string of being cheated on in more than one relationship.
So there's probably going to be a lot of people listening to this that have been cheated on and have sort of felt that, I wish I saw the signs earlier. How do you think people can walk that line to where they're not blaming themselves and beating themselves up, but they're more learning for the future how to see signs?
That is such a spectrum. When someone is cheated on and they go through, and this is really normal, to go through all those thoughts about, why didn't I see it? Why didn't I follow those clues? Why didn't I trust my intuition? You know, our body always tells us, because whenever someone is hiding something, doesn't matter what they're hiding, our body feels it. And there's a disconnect. So when someone is cheating on somebody, the person that's being cheated on some level, we know, we feel it. We feel a disconnect. And maybe that person isn't cheating on them with another person. Maybe they're just really distracted. But when there is a third party, that's when you really want to start to go inward. Wait a minute, is this my old history because I was cheated on before? Or so am I just running fear? Or are there actual signs going on? What I see a lot is two people in a relationship and they both allow themselves to get overweight. You know, it happens after people get married, unfortunately. And then one of them starts working out and starts staying at the gym longer and starts maybe working later. And the other person's not involved in that life. Now, I'm not saying that's always a red flag, but that can be a red flag. So starting to look at, what are those red flags? If someone's hiding their phone or not leaving it out, another red flag. So pay attention. However, what we don't want to do is focus on that person and whatever mistakes they've made or whatever mistakes they might make. Why? Because now you're living through them. And our goal is to love our life and live our life holy. We want to be careful that we're not consistently giving our power away to our partner, worried about, wondering about, are they going to cheat? Have they cheated? Remember, this is all about co-creation energy. In an aligned individual, which hopefully we all want to be aligned and empowered, we are not obsessing about someone else's behavior. We're saying, I'm going to trust until I'm told otherwise. And I might be told otherwise if I ask my guides or I've asked the universe. If there's something I need to know, let me know it.
If someone's having a lot of thoughts like, I think something's happening, I think my partner's cheating on me, you know, what do you think the right way of going about it is? Do you think outwardly asking to check someone's phone without sort of, you know, any real proof is a good thing to do? If this has happened in the past, and let's say someone has accused their partner of cheating and they weren't really cheating, how do you think people should go about, like, when is the right time to bring this up? When is the right time to follow that intuition I have? Or is it just kind of a self-esteem thing and I'm just always thinking that something is wrong?
So, and on an ideal, we have a healthy enough relationship that we can talk to each other about our concerns. That's the ideal. When you're feeling a concern that, God, that person's really on their phone a lot, they're kind of hiding things, my gut is feeling really uncomfortable, and I don't know if this is my history or I don't know if this is actually someone that is cheating on me. How do we deal with that? Have a conversation. And we want to be careful that we're not accusatory. And we want to be careful that we're not pointing a finger. Ideally, we say, you know, I have been feeling disconnected from you and I'm missing us. I would like us to get back to feeling connected. And part of me is feeling fear that you might have somebody out there or I'm not enough. Can we talk about that? Be open. It's so much easier for that person to hear it if you're not accusing. So we don't want to do that when we're in a heated moment, which unfortunately does happen, right? We hold it all in, because when we hold it all in too long, then it can come out with a boom. We don't want that. We want to have authentic conversations. And if you and your partner are not in that place, but you both want to get back to that place, it's doable. But if one person wants to have authentic conversations and the other person is turning their back, then you got to decide, you know, how long are you going to stay in it while they keep turning their back on me? But those are conversations that are important. I'm feeling threatened, and I just want to have a clear conversation with you. Are we good? Or are you pulling away from me? You'll know, because people make eye contact. And if they're having a bad day, if they come home from work and they're crabby, that's not the best time to ask that question. But when you two are having a quiet moment, that's a really good time to ask that question. Hold hands, lay in bed together, take a walk, and talk about, I'm feeling disconnected from you. And my old fear is coming up. And I just want to be a little more clear with us. Then we are moving into true intimacy. You know, some people choose to have third-party interactions. That's becoming more common these days. Well, I can't say that's more common because it's always been around. And I know many couples, almost always, one person wants the third party and the other person doesn't. And they go along with it to a certain point, and then they say, oh, I can't do that anymore. It never felt good. I was just doing it to please that person. So that's going back to, you can do it openly, but again, you want to have authentic conversations. Because every time we sneak, every time we lie, every time we cheat and it's under the table, it hurts our connection, not only with our partner, but it really also hurts our connection with our own self and our self-esteem. Another way people stray is they've lost a compatibility with their old person for whatever reason, and they feel more compatible with a new person. Maybe they met them at the gym or at work, or it's a friend of a friend. You know, there's a lot of couples that cheat with their spouse's or their partner's best friend. Why? Double betrayal. I know some people that happened to, and ooh, that cuts like a knife. That's hard, because not only you lost your partner, you also lost your best friend. But why does that happen? Because there's already a connection between these, if four people hang out. There is that conversation and intimacy, and we have that with somebody, hopefully our partner, but sometimes we lose that. And they're either I've changed or my partner changed. Like if you're in a running club and you start hanging out with runners, but your partner doesn't want to run. And now you feel that compatibility. And we didn't really, though, if we have a lot of differences, remember back to those five foundations, but if we don't have enough mutual interests, it's very hard for a relationship to sustain. Then it's like, ooh, there's candy out there because that person's more compatible with me. You want to have mutual interests. Doesn't mean you do everything together, because we don't. You don't have to have every interest the same, but absolutely there should be some compatibility. Or it's really easy to have your partner stray or you stray. There's a couple I used to work with years ago, and she went on a spiritual journey and he didn't. And it really changed her. And that ended their marriage because she wanted him to come along on the spiritual journey and he had no interest. And it infiltrated a lot of her life because it was a big deal. So it's important to understand that we want to be compatible with our partner if we want to stay committed. Another way we can be overworked or stop putting attention towards ourselves or the relationship. You know, a relationship is a separate entity. Here's you, here's your partner. Between is the relationship cup. That relationship cup needs to be fed, hopefully daily, but at least regularly. And when we stop putting attention towards the relationship, we're putting too much attention to work, or we have work and sports, or we put all of our attention into the kids, that relationship cup dries up and it gets boring. And when that happens, it's really easy for one or both to have emotional or physical affairs. Another way is situational. Like if you're away on vacation with your friends, or you're working closely with somebody on a work project, those things can lead to that because, again, you're not putting enough time in to keep that relationship, your current relationship, active. A big thing is oftentimes unresolved or unaddressed trauma from the past. What happens when we have unresolved childhood trauma and we enter into a relationship? We marry our dysfunctional parent. That is time and time again. So we marry the person that is, if we had a critical dad, we marry a critical partner. If we had an overbearing mom, we might marry an overbearing person. If we had a parent that was not faithful, it is time and time again, one of those children from that unfaithful marriage, if not more than one, is going to have that same issues with their spouse. So we really want to address that childhood trauma. Very hard to have a healthy partnership if we're not working on our own health. Goes hand in hand. Another way is, and this goes back to the boredom, we feel like we're not ready to leave and we don't really like our partner. We don't feel like we're compatible, but it's kind of enough or we're too afraid to be alone. So then we wander. It's often the case. Issues might not be brought up to even work on. And so we might stray, but we never even gave our partner the chance to work on the things that they needed to work on, or the two of us, right? Because it's never just one person. But oftentimes that starts as an emotional affair because you're complaining to your workmate or your best friend's wife about your own spouse. And when that happens, then you start to create an emotional bond with somebody. Instead of complaining about your partner, deal with your partner directly. But if we're going outside the marriage to start complaining about our partner and we're not even talking to our partner about it, that is such a big red flag. That is very hard to recover from until we decide, wait a minute, I actually want to start working on it. And we always can. My belief system, nothing is dead until we deem it dead. You can have people that have cheated and they work through it. There are many. Why? Because they've addressed the inner issues. They stop blaming their spouse or their boyfriend or their girlfriend for their unhappiness. Instead, they said, wait a minute, what's my part? And now what can we work on together? And this relationship has more value to me. I don't want to risk losing it. So it is absolutely doable, but it takes two people working on it and feeding that relationship cup. There's also some people that are not matched sexually. Remember, we want to go back and make sure mutual respect, mutual trust, mutual values, mutual attraction. When one person really values sex and your partner doesn't, that's going to be hard. So if you are dating somebody before you get married, don't wait and think it's going to resolve itself. It doesn't. If you're highly sexual, then have a partner that's also highly sexual with you. But otherwise, you're going to be bored and then it's easy to stray, or you're going to feel like I'm going to marry the nice girl and I'm going to go have sex with the naughty girl, you know, whatever that old saying is. And that's what I spoke about before. You know, high sexual desire is second chakra. So oftentimes we can have a high sexual desire. We also want to broaden that scope because are we living creatively? Sometimes our sexual desire is really high, and it could be just that we have a high sexual desire, but we also want to make sure that we are living a creative life because that's all that same energy. And then we might not find it so easy to stray because we are getting that charge from living a life that is passionate. We love our hobbies. We love our work. We love learning new things. That's all that same energy. So it doesn't always have to be done through sex, but you want to have a good partnership that matches. And there is another one that is, there's something called sex addiction. You know, addiction is real, of course, obviously. Addiction can be shopping and alcohol and drugs and staying too busy and sex addiction. And that is easy to stray outside if you're a sex addict. Check on that one because that doesn't feel good. Again, that is that piece where it's the high, and then there's the guilt, and then there's all the remorse, and then you don't feel good about yourself. So if that is your story, there is help out there. Another way is the fear of aging, and that goes back to that low self-esteem. When we start to age, whether you're a man or a woman, if we're not happy with how we look, there are things you can do about it. And it's way healthier to do those things about it than to get our kudos outside of our partnership. Because again, that doesn't last. You know, the grass is greener. It's true. Your partner sees and has to pick up your dirty underwear, but your mistress doesn't. So start to notice that. Am I treating my partner as great as I would treat my mistress or my mister. And once we start recognizing, well, I'm treating that person I'm having an emotional or physical affair with way better. Pause. Check in. Can I treat my partner this well? Relationships take effort. Know that going in. Think about those five solids. I believe we take a while to get to know somebody. It doesn't mean you don't want to enter in relationship, but we don't want to enter in blindly. We want to be aware of, are we compatible? Do we have like-minded interests? Are our values the same or similar enough that there's more good in this than there's not? And are we really attracted to each other? Yes, physically, but also emotionally, also intellectually. Those are all key pieces. You know, in my belief, at the end of the day, someone cheats on some level, it's an act of escapism. On that soul level, people choose to betray with unfaithfulness because they have a lack in some area of their life or multiple areas. The person on the outside, that third party, is giving them some sort of power, some sort of jolt, some sort of feel good. But instead of finding that power in their own life, instead of changing the things they need to change, so they look in the mirror and they don't falsely love themselves, not a false ego, but a, wow, I really like my life. I really like the person I am. If we're not there, it's easier to find that outside of our partnership. But we really, ideally, we want to find that within. That's why we're here on earth, in my belief. To feel that empowerment. You know, we grow through experiences. And that density of human consciousness tends to grow through pain more than joy, just the way we are as humans. But we don't have to be that way. We don't have to keep learning through those dense, painful experiences. We can look back, what did I learn? Change it. Think of how often we focus on the pain in our bodies and the insufficiencies in our relationships, and complain. Instead of looking at all the great in it, instead of saying, wow, I can shift this. There is still some good. What do I need to shift? I'm not going to expect my partner to shift and do all the shifting if I'm not doing it too. And I think I brought this up in another episode years ago. This man was really complaining about his wife. They'd been married a long time. And someone suggested he do a gratitude journal. He started writing down every day something he was grateful for about his wife, and he fell back in love with her because he was ready to leave. But it really was because he wasn't happy in his own life. And then we blame somebody. And maybe it's not the right partnership. So I'm not suggesting everybody stay. Maybe that partner truly is not right for us. Then address that openly. Ask the questions. Are we really compatible? And then decide, is it worth staying? Otherwise, we continue to perpetuate that same issue. We cheat, and then we leave, or we stay, and then we cheat again, or we leave, and then we end up with a partner that cheats on us, or we cheat on that next person again, because we're consistently not feeling satisfied because we don't really put the time in to love our own life. That's why it's so common for someone, once they cheated, to cheat more than once, because we're looking for fulfillment outside of our partnership instead of inside of ourselves. Or we stay in a partnership that's never going to be fulfilling because we're not really compatible.
What do you think people who constantly find themselves cheating on their partners, what do you think the steps they should take in order to make, you know, changes in their life? Because a lot of people really don't want to be that type of person, but they just, it's almost like they can't help it, which sounds strange, right? Because it's like, just don't cheat. But, you know, there are some people who just can't help it. Is there a way for them to stop? And can they, you know, have a fulfilling relationship where it's just one person?
When there is that consistent or more than once cheating and you don't want to be the cheater anymore, really ask yourself, do I have enough going on in my life that I love? Because otherwise I'm using these romantic liaisons as a fix. And then it's going to get boring, and then I'm going to move on to the next one. And then it's going to get boring, and I'm going to move on to the next one. That really can be overcome. It can. And that means, how do I get to the place where I really love my life? You know, physical exercise is huge. And some people are really great at treating their body well. Some people go overboard with physical exercise, but that's a big component, treating our body well. And then treating our mind well, learning new things. So important. Then we feel fulfilled in a lot of areas. And really creating a sacred container with your current partner. Maybe be that honest. You know, I'm feeling this urge to stray and I don't want to. Can we have conversations about what's going on with us? Because I want to feel more connected to you. What if we were that intimate? It is absolutely possible. And that would be the best situation. It takes great courage. Instead of going outside the relationship, step into courage, change our actions, change our reactions, change those things in your life that are causing you to feel less than. You know, you might have a bad relationship with your dad, and every time your dad pisses you off, you just want to feel alive and you want to feel your power back because he disempowers you. So then you want to go get a quick fix, a partner, a romantic person that builds you up because your partner at home isn't building you up. Maybe they're not building you up because you're not building you up. No, it takes that internal dialogue. What am I not doing for myself? Why am I feeling this need to get my self-esteem from outside myself? Because that's really what it comes down to. And we want to be present. So it's so easy to go into those old stories. If you want to be faithful, or if you want to be in a partnership where there is faithfulness, try not to go down those old alleys with those old stories. Try to stay present. Once we're in present time, we can more easily shift from those old stories that take us into the unhealthy patterns of our past to healthy choices. Being present. Wait, what do I want in this moment? What is this moment for me? That leads us to healthy choices. But it does take a pause. You know, we want everything so fast sometimes, but life is way better when we get in the present moment and go into what's healthy. That's what can create long-lasting changes. That's where we can really start to love ourselves. Tell ourselves, I'm an adult and I make my own choices. I'm not worried about what people judge or don't judge. Maybe you don't ever want to be faithful. Then tell your partner. Maybe don't be in a monogamous relationship, but be honest, because the more we are dishonest, the more it hurts our physical body and our connection to our soul. You know, our lives are meant to be fulfilling, and they can be. They're supposed to be. Excitement means different things to different people, and it is up to us to go out and find healthy ways we can find excitement again. Because my belief at the end of the day, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, when we leave this earth, one of the most important lessons will be, did we allow ourselves to feel like we were living? Did we allow ourselves to feel empowered? Or did we get our power by hurting people or being disempowered by somebody else? We don't want to live that way. Healthy, empowered self is honest, is in alignment with their soul story, and lives with a really great, vivacious appetite. It is possible, and it does take work.
You know, even in long-term relationships, in marriages often, you know, ones that are 10, 20 years long, I feel like people have this resiliency to get through any problem. And they always tell each other, you know, we can get through anything as long as it's not infidelity, as long as it's not cheating. And oftentimes, you know, in 20-year marriages, when someone does cheat, it doesn't, right? I think everybody knows someone. I know someone who has, you know, recently divorced parents, and I'm in my, you know, almost my late 20s. So it's one of those things where why do you think people have such an adverse reaction to cheating? Why is it the cardinal sin? Why does it just have the capability to destroy relationships, even if they were perfect for 20 years?
Yeah. That's such a good question. So my belief is there is a deep woundedness, because when two people are married or in partnership, they share a bed, they share that emotional intimacy, hopefully at some point in their lives, even if they're not now. And they also share a sexual intimacy, hopefully now, but maybe not anymore, but they did at some point, hopefully. That causes that person, if one person cheats and they say, you can do anything, we can work through anything, but if you cheat on me, we're done. You know, I had that belief early on in my life, and I don't anymore. I'm not saying someone should cheat on me, but really there's reasons that's going on. So look at the reasons. Sometimes when someone is so out of the marriage because they're a workaholic and their partner is really lonely, or their partner is saying, I really need more intimacy with you. And that person that is a workaholic is not acknowledging that. And then the person that's feeling lonely and hurt goes outside the marriage. Is that really a reason to end it? Well, possibly, if neither one of them is going to look at what happened that got us to that point. What happened? Very rarely in a relationship does cheating happen because one person is an asshole. I mean, truly, that's rare. There is that, right? That does happen, that you guys can have a great relationship, but this person is so wounded that they have to go get their self-esteem outside. Mostly it's because we've let what we had die, or I don't really like my life, or I don't feel supported, or I feel really lonely because you work all the time. Whatever those reasons are, it's important to know them. And when people say, if you ever cheat on me, we're done, I'm so against that statement personally. And I'm not, again, saying people have a right to cheat. That's not what I'm saying. That's not my belief. My belief is, what is going on with that person? And when you made a commitment to them, especially if you've been together a long time, is it fair just to walk away from that person because they cheated on you, if they really want to work it out? Because what was your role in that? Maybe you didn't have one, but maybe you did. And there is a deep betrayal that goes on, remember. If someone strays and they have especially a physical affair, the person that was cheated on feels like, wow, you were that intimate with somebody else. I don't know if I can get over it. So it is, you know, in some people's belief, a cardinal sin, of course. And we betray people all the time in a lot of different ways. My belief, can that be worked through? Yes, but it really does take mindfulness on both people's parts. And it can. It's easy to walk away from that. And the bummer with that is then we don't do our work. Because maybe then, if I was condescending to my partner and I was treating him like he's a boy and I'm the mom, and he cheats on me with a woman that treats him like a partner, don't I have some role in that? Should he have cheated? No. There's other ways to deal with it, right? Like he could have come to me and talked to me, but maybe I was not approachable. And so then there's other ways. Maybe my partner should have left me, but he wasn't strong enough. So there's a million different reasons. And we really want to go into that, because on a soul level, it's an opportunity for growth. Always an opportunity for growth, to become a more whole human, to become a more awake and alive and authentic and honest human. And when someone cheats, instead of running, unless, of course, that person said, nope, I don't want you anymore, and of course, then you have to go. But otherwise, if you guys can work on it, work on it. You might actually find your relationship is way better than it ever was before. So thank you for joining me. Thank you for liking and sharing. And it's always an honor. Let me know how this is going. Let me know if you have topics you want me to bring up. That's why I'm here. Have a beautiful day, and we'll connect again next week. Hey, listeners, thank you so much for being part of the Soul Speak world. I really appreciate that. And if you're willing and if you find this of value, would you please follow on any of the platforms you're listening to, whether that's Apple or Spotify or Google or any of the platforms? And of course, I love the ratings if you find this valuable. You can also follow me on YouTube and like and share. And all of that really makes a difference. Appreciate your participation. And of course, I really appreciate you being part of this world.